This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
8:46, 14 till 9. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Tim Zimmer, Manning Master Control, tells me, so I'm attributing this to him, that they've also changed the rule where teams can wear alternative uniforms four times a season. Is that at home, on the road, or I guess anywhere? It depends on what the other team is wearing, though, because of the colors, etc. Keith Spira joins us now, and as the NFL owners meet, we'll continue to keep you updated as far as any changes that they approve. Keith Spira, reporter for the Times, speaking to you, New Orleans Advocate. How are you?
I'm good, Tommy. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, sir. Let's talk about the Jazz Fest cubes that came out. I don't know, with everything going on last week, a lot of it got lost, I guess, maybe with weather or whatever it was. But tell me your thoughts on the cubes and the days you're looking forward to most.
Well, yeah, you know, you don't really get a true picture of the festival's personality until you look at the cubes. You know, the raw list of names that comes out in January only tells you so much. You've really got to look and see who's following who on which stage to really get a sense of the festival. And look, it's a really interesting year. You know, I mean, you've got one day where the main festival stage, you know, is essentially programmed like the Congo Square stage. You got Lil Wayne and the Roots headlining it. You got Big Frieda on that stage, Tank and the Bangas. So that's really interesting. You know, they've rarely showcased hip hop on the main stage. So to see, the hometown rapper Lil Wayne headline that day will be interesting on the first Saturday. Excuse me. They've got 2 days instead of one where you've got a major country headliner on the main stage. That's both of the Fridays with Casey Musgraves and Luke Combs. So I don't recall a year when you had two country headliners on the main stage like that before. And then back to that first Saturday, It's a great dichotomy where you've got Lil Wayne headlining the festival stage and Harry Connick Jr. headlining the Gentilly stage at the same time. So two very different New Orleans musicians at opposite ends of the fairground headlining on that day.
So it does kind of go to the diverse nature of New Orleans music, but also I think it goes to not just the diversity of the Jazz Fest, but how music is changing and how the fest is kind of evolving with it. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, I think so. You know,
not that Lil Wayne is a new artist or anything, but you understand what I'm saying.
Well, right. I mean, but, you know, it's just kind of funny. They've never actually had Lil Wayne out there. And I'm sure that was partly on his end. I mean, his scheduling and you know, he doesn't live here anymore. You know, he's based in Miami these days. So, they finally got him, you know, I mean, he's been a major figure in hip hop for 20 years now, and they finally got him in a headlining spot. And I think they've tried to mix up the presentation a little bit more. You know, in 2024, they had Anderson .Paak and the Free Nationals, which is a band that certainly has a lot of hip hop content to it. They headlined on the festival stage. So they've been moving in this direction a little bit. And this is just the latest iteration of that evolution, I'd say.
Newell Norman just texted me, Lil Weezy, not Lil Wayne. All right, Wayne. Newell, thank you for that. Thank you for that correction. I appreciate
Newell
it.
Newell knows what's up. He does.
Newell texting me, fixing that. Let me take a break, Keith. We'll pick it up when we come back. I want to talk about some of the acts for different genres, different people that are looking for different things, be it classic rock, be it traditional, maybe jazz or New Orleans music, oldies, anything. We'll talk about that more when we come back. 8:50, 10 till 9, talking Jazz Fest, Cubes with Keith Speary. He'll be here before you know it. We're into April, April 1st today, and the first day of Jazz Fest, Thursday, April 24th. Traffic now, WWL. 8:56, 4 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly back to our friend Keith Spira, who is the reporter for Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate, about Jazz Fest and the cubes that have come out. What about some classic rock acts, some traditional Jazz Fest artists, etc., Keith?
Well, sure. They had a lot of success last year by booking Heart on the Gentilly stage. So this year you've got two similar kind of, you know, late 70s, early 80s FM radio rock bands. You've got Cheap Trick out there, and you've got Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. So they're kind of scratching that same classic rock itch by having those guys out there again. Look, as far as jazz, contemporary jazz, they've got a lot of the big names in contemporary jazz headlining at the Jazz Tent. You've got Joshua Redman. You've got Branford Marsalis, who moved back to New Orleans last year and is going to be playing out there with his quartet. You've got Yellow Jackets. You've got Stanley Clark, the great guitar player. You've got Diana Krall, the piano player and singer. So it's a really strong contemporary jazz lineup out there this year.
Can you break it down by day? And is there one day that would lend itself more to one aficionado of one type of music?
You know, it's so mixed up. I mean, as we said earlier, if you're a country fan, you want to go on either of the two Fridays. If you want to take advantage of, you know, one of the best deals in popular music, buy yourself a $50 ticket on either of the Thursdays, because there's a little bit of everything on each of those Thursdays. Every day is pretty consistent across the genres, I would say. It just depends on which of the big bands you're a fan of. If you're a Dave Matthews Band fan, you go on the first Sunday. If you're a Pearl Jam fan, you go on the second Saturday. But, you know, the crazy thing about the Cubes, too, is you see all the tough choices that you have to make. And it's just, it's just crazy, some of the options that you have. On the last Sunday, the final slot, Trombone Shorty, New Orleans Avenue, My Morning Jacket, Patti LaBelle, Kamasi Washington, Chris Stone, Kingfish, Ingram, Kermit Ruffin's tribute to Louis Armstrong, Marty Stewart, all at the same time. So that's that's a hard choice to make right there.
You know, when you talk about choices, it got me to thinking, Keith, about, is it science? Is it art? Is there any kind of focus group, any kind of research, any kind of numbers, any kind of math, science, etc., when it comes to evaluating one year's festival as it relates to booking the next year's festival, or how far in advance do some of these bookings take place? Do you know?
Well, they're booking some of these folks a year out, at least. Mm-hmm. Some of the bigger acts plan, tours 1-2 years in advance. So, yeah, some of them were penciled in probably by the time last year's festival was taking place. I think at this point there is sort of a formula. They know they need, X many arena-level rock bands. They know they need X many, major contemporary R&B bands. They know they need X many jazz acts to fill the Jazz Tent. And they know that they're going to need, 400-plus Louisiana artists to fill out the rest of the schedule and give this festival its unique personality. So, at this point, I mean, they know how many slots they have to fill. They know about what they want to spend. They know, roughly what ticket sales are going to generate, and all those numbers have to line up.
Thank you. Appreciate your time, Keith. We'll talk to Jeff Nowak when we come back, WWL.